dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody in SVC land. You are listening to SVC Sports Talk, and this is Season 10, and it just so happens to be our big show. Show number 300. We've made it, Shane. 300 is going to be in the recorder here just shortly. We welcome you all in and tell you that this is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and all the people that hang out there. And we'd like to bring in some of those people. First of all, we say hello to the one, the only, the Mr. John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bruce?
Well, I've been better, but I'm getting over it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you didn't ask me to say hello because you didn't want me to sing even more this week.
No, so. That's right. We canned that last week, John. Sorry about that.
Okay. But, you know, I've been working on my vocal chops, so just in case for next time.
Well, maybe we'll, you know, show 301. Maybe could start off that way. Maybe you could sing the theme. We could come up with words or something like that. You keep thinking about that. We're glad to have you back on show 300, and we'll get into more of the meat of what 300 means a little bit later here. Let's bring in, though, the brains behind the outfit, because you and I aren't it, John, and that is one Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, say hello.
Hey, guys. Real excited about the number 300. Obviously, all the different sponsors will want to thank, with North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, Pickaway Ross Career and Technology for all that they do. And then I still want to give a shout out Triple Crown, you know, even though they're not with us now. Obviously, it's been a difficult time for everyone over this past year. And, you know, obviously, when you think of 300 shows, for us to get, you know, everything started together, Bruce, get DBK Media Services and some of the things that make the show sound as professional as it does. Obviously, a lot of thanks has to go to Triple Crown Family Fund Center. So thought it'd be real appropriate to still give them a shout out here this evening. But again, can't say enough for North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, and Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. You know, Bruce will still give them some shout outs throughout the show, as always. But just thought that was real appropriate to start with that this evening.
Yep, we do appreciate that. And what's going to be on this special show agenda, Shane? What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I think the theme for 300 has to be to look back over the decade. And we're looking at, you know, just about everything you can think of, you know, athletes, maybe the best from each sport, underrated athletes, best coaches. I'm sure we'll share some performances and games and some different things. You know, John is as good as it gets when it comes to SVC history, and I'm excited to hear his take, because we didn't do any show prep. So again, this was, you know, I'm sure we're going to miss things. Okay. So, I mean, we're talking 10 years of stuff here, so I'm sure we're going to leave some people out, and hopefully we'll get some fan feedback on that, but, excited to get started.
Yep.
Yeah. At some point, guys, I won't roll into the studio at like 7:00. Like I'll start getting here earlier.
All right.
So we can maybe prep then.
No, I think that's part of the goodness of the show, though. You two guys, and I will tell you this, folks, they do not really compare notes or anything prior to talking. We do have some idea, perhaps, what we're going to go over. But I think that's what makes it a little bit – well, it obviously makes it a little bit more conversational, and it gives two good points from which to come at these topics too. So, John, you can continue to roll in just as normal. Then I think that makes things flow a little bit better. So, and speaking of opening here Shane, as we look back upon these 10 years that we've been doing this, it's not quite 10 years until I guess May or so when we put the capper on season 10, but 300 shows worth. I wondered if you kind of think back and think about who is a coach or administrator from the SVC who's been extremely influential in helping your website and the podcast be successful.
Well, if I'm being honest, all eight SVC schools in terms of accepting us into the media world, which, again, that's something I never really, you know, got a total understanding of the word media and so forth. But they've been very accepting to allowing us into their facilities and giving us access to different things. And I'm very appreciative of that. You know, up here until COVID, a couple schools maybe have had to cut back here and there, which we've been very understanding of. But to be honest, over the last 13 years, they've been real, real accepting of the website, and the last 10 of our podcast show. If I had to single a couple people out, I think without question would have to be Alan Coker, his time at Westfall. It was Zane Trace. I know it's his wife helping Huntington there a little bit now, Southeastern and so forth. But Alan was just real instrumental in terms of encouraging coaches to promote their kids. I think he had a vision of what our vision was, and I thought that was very helpful. I know Scott Hurt, Josh Jones is a great historian. He's since moved from coaching into administration, but he's been great. Craig Kearns has been great. All of the people at Paint Valley where I work been very accepting of, you know, understanding it never gets in the way of my teaching or coaching, but they also understand that I have a great desire. That they understand that I'm gonna try to get the Paint Valley kids their due, but at the same time I have a job to go out and cover kids from all eight schools. So that's a list. And again, you start naming things like that, you leave people off. But I feel pretty good about putting Alan at the top of that list, because he really did at the beginning and really throughout has been all in terms of supporting what we do. And I know I certainly appreciate that. I know at our McDonald's show there back, whatever that milestone was, Bruce, 200.
That was 200, I think.
Yeah, he was a guest there and had a chance to speak there. And, in different circumstances, maybe we'd have had a certain show like that this time, but he's certainly one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think we got to thank John, too, for he's kind of become our resident historian, has he not?
Well, he really has. And, you know, with John, I was just thinking back today, I hope you don't miss people just in terms of the show. Like when you do 300 of them, I know there's been my brother Matt, and I know there's been Eric Snyder, Derek Webb, Jeremy Ward. You know, then obviously John here has been great. We've had other guests here and there, but I think those have been the main people with us over the years. And then obviously Bruce has been right here with me for 300. And as I said before, that's been so helpful because I can sit and do this all night. I love doing this right here, just talking. But if I had to do all the other stuff, that'd be a disaster.
Yeah, you could do it, I'm sure. And then you mentioned Matt. I know he's kind of played a role on the website, but he kind of brought us together. The derivation of this was that he was going to do a podcast for a show that he was doing over here at Vinton County. And I think he then brought the concept of the podcast to you. And we got together as a result of that. So I appreciate his involvement there. And, of course, he's, I think, was around when you birthed the idea of the website as well, wasn't he?
Well, he was. You know, I was right in between coaching jobs, and I turned fan there for about a half a year before I really started to dive back into coaching. And I just, you know, there's part of me realized that, you know, look, I love high school sports, but if I'm listening to a 2-hour show of this or reading an entire newspaper of this, instead of it being 50-60% SVC, man, I would love for it to just be 100%. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little bit more detail of this and that. And I guess that's kind of where we got going with it. And that's where, you know, John and I share such a passion for this, because through, you know, growing up as managers, playing, coaching, covering it, the SVC ends up being a pretty big part of your life. You know, so, and it's been at multiple schools. I know John's had multiple school experience. I've had multiple school experience. And, you know, obviously we have our kids that we're biased to because we love them like family. That's what coaching is. It's relationships, and it's just how you feel about your kids. But at the same time, we have just an incredible respect and a passion to cover kids at all schools because we believe in high school sports and what it represents.
Yeah, let me this is completely unscripted, folks, but as an outsider looking at the SVC becoming, you know, I've had my foot in it now for, you know, 10 years or so. One of the things that I notice about the SVC, and maybe this happens in other conferences, but perhaps not as much because of the proximity, but I see names appearing under different schools. You know, you mentioned some of them that have been at one school, went to another school. We've had quite a few of those over the 10 years that I've been involved. Is that something that's unique to the SVC, guys, or is that something that goes on in all conferences, you think?
Well, John, I have one comment, and I'd love to hear that, because I know you had to do some traveling in your career to make that happen. But Bruce, I think what happens is we're so close from geographies, mm-hmm. sense that you may end up living in the same home for 10 years, and you may have a drive inside a half hour to a lot of different schools. Right. So different opportunities might present itself that in the TBC or some of these other conferences, you know, you literally may be an hour away from another school or whatnot. So, you know, John, I'd be interested to hear your thought on that, because I know early in your career, you had a lot of different travel involved for you to stay involved in the SVC, didn't you?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of, I did a lot of coaching at Westfall, and, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it was 35-ish minutes, just depending on the way. And, but it was a chance to coach and, you know, a really good situation. Got to learn from Trevor Thomas and, you know, learn a lot about not only just coaching, but life in general. Just, and that's something I do think is unique in the SVC, where, like, for me, being pretty centralized in Ross County, I can get to any of the schools in less than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not a hassle to go to coach at any of those places. And then, but like, if you're at Vinton County going to Meigs, mm-hmm. that's a lot harder to, you know, juggle in right. with jobs and everything. And there's seven schools in Ross County, six of which are in the SVC. So, I mean, you know, you can get around to different places because of the proximity of everything.
Yep. And how quickly or how easy is it to, when you make that switch or when someone's made that switch, how does that make one feel? I mean, you obviously still have, you know, a strong feeling for Westfall for the time you spent mm-hmm. there. Shane, you've been, you know, at Huntington and PV and where else?
Well, I was graduating from UNIO, yeah. and so you always have that connection and so forth, sure. I think, Bruce, what happens is it's kind of your sports background. It's kind of like if John and I grow up competing against each other, right. or teammates, I'm sorry, if we're teammates, but we're at open gym one night together, we may be on the same team for the first hour,
yeah.
and we're going to be high-fiving and buddying and let's win. And then if we're on separate teams for the next half hour, we might be already killed each other trying to beat each other.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like, that's what makes sports so cool. And it's one of those things that, you know, the coaching and the player relationship and the passion of competition, sometimes, you know, when you walk into a new job, you have that competitive juice and go. Now, I will say this, though, is it does take you some time to earn your keep.
Yeah.
You know, I know when I've made those trips, you know, I've been very accepted in terms of what they think I can bring to the program and my experience or my knowledge or whatever. But sometimes they're going to test you early on and like, hey, hold on now. Are you truly all in with us here? And then when you come back, you know, when I'll just be very open here on our 300 show, because I think it's a cool story. When I came back to Paint Valley, I had to kind of re-earn my keep with the girls basketball program. You know, I'd moved to the Huntington situation for family purposes and something right. that meant a lot to my family. But when I had come back, you know, a lot of those juniors and seniors are looking at me like, well, what are you doing here now? You know, we wanted you here 2 years ago. Where have you been? I mean, don't act like you care now. And I understood that. I was very, very respectful of that, because it was a, earn your keep type of thing to where you return. So, you know, you have lifelong friends with when you go to Uniota and you compete there as an athlete. And then my entire adult life, pretty much as a teacher and coach, has been Paint Valley, with the exception of that one little window you referred to. Even went to Vinton County for 1 year, and then have done other things at Vinton County behind the scenes. And then, you know, probably the biggest factor, you mentioned it there in our opening, Bruce, is are you going to get in the car and drive an hour every day?
Yep.
That's hard to do. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's a neat thing. And the SVC is really unique in that way. But I think it does. I think when you get into coaching, the competition and the relationship with kids, when you get a chance to, it's just like if you work at a camp. If I was running a camp tomorrow and a kid from Zane Trace piked in Southeastern or whatever, I would dive into that. There's been plenty of times in my coaching career I've worked with a kid and then 2 years later that kid's whooped me in competition. Mm-hmm. I sat there and thought, well, that was fun. You know, but again, in all seriousness, you just that's what it's all about, and that's what makes it cool.
Well, that's what makes the SVC, I think, unique in this area. And I, as an outsider looking in, I think that's pretty cool. You guys are one close conference. You really are, in a lot of respects. And, you know, we've had unfortunate events happen throughout the conference, and I have really been impressed by the way the SVC comes together in a time of, you know, whatever, you know, untimely, you know, passings of athletes and so forth like that. You've got something really nice in the SVC, and I think you guys should be proud of it. So anyway, we're going to get on here. We've got lots of stuff lined up where these guys are going to think back over the past 10 years and come up with some good information. First, though, we want to mention Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They've been with us, for 3 years, and they are Southern Ohio's most trusted provider of heating, cooling, and refrigeration for your home and businesses for over 20 years now. They are available 24/7 to respond, and they look forward to helping you with all your comfort needs. You can give them a call at 877-947-4499, or you can look up their website, advancedservicesHVAC.com. Okay, guys, as we said, this is show 300, and we're going to kind of think back and not talk a whole lot about what's going on right now in the SVC basketball season. Well underway and starting off on the second. We made the turn pretty much. But I want you to look back over the past 10 years and think and name an athlete that most people probably don't understand just how good he or she was. And just to kind of pull some names out of here, one boy, one girl each, that was really kind of undersung during their playing days. John, you want to go first on this one?
I'll go first on the boys' side. Okay. I had a pretty decent list, but I'm going to go with, you know, Uniota's Eric Hosley. I think, you know, he was a 4-year starter in basketball and base or basketball and football, and was just an outstanding athlete, but never put up the like crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. So I think with the fact that he was just a really integral part of really good teams made it to where maybe he was underappreciated in some ways. You know, he was just a really special athlete, and he had some concussion issues with football that really probably cut him down from putting up bigger numbers in football as well. But I always thought he was one of the top athletes in the area for all 4 years that he was in varsity.
Okay, Shane, you want to come up with somebody?
Yeah, I love that selection, John. That's well done. I wanted to go boys basketball, Jonathan Thomas of Edina. I don't know that people – he's the fifth all-time leading scorer in the history of our league. You know, he was coming up through sixth, seventh, eighth grade. If my math right, John, the Edina boys basketball program was like 4-57. And then, you know, he comes into high school and a lot of pressure to change that, and the shoulder thrown into the fire from day one, and goes through. And, you know, when we think back to that time period, that was the beginning of Dylan Swingle's career. That was the end of Pierce Mowry's career. And obviously Mowry was phenomenal, finished just ahead of him there on the all-time list. But, you know, when you think of the attention that Mowry got, and all that was rightfully so, he was phenomenal, one of the best I've ever seen. He was only 33 points ahead of Thomas. So it was a situation where I think what happens sometimes is when you come through with other greats, sometimes you maybe don't get appreciated quite as much as you should. And when I was looking back at that, I always knew that he was a really good player, but I mean, historically good is probably the better phrase to use.
All right. John, you want to come up with a girl's name?
I went with Kelsey Robinson from Westfall. Yep. You know, I'm not sure how well known of a fact that it is that she had the walk-off hit in the state championship.
That's game. Right.
Off of a pitcher who was a superstar at Washington, and pitched in the College Softball World Series multiple times. Like, you know, that's just a small part of how special of an athlete she was. You know, just an outstanding basketball player for the Mustangs as well. You know, it was someone who, you know, with a Red Stone Rock, there was a great 1-2 punch for them, winning an SVC championship a few years back. And, you know, she was a member of those softball teams that were really special for Coach Redmond up there at Westfall.
Shane, your turn.
Yeah, I started with about six or seven on the list. I got down to the two. I just couldn't decide, so I'm just going to hurry and name them both here. Number one from Penny Valley would be Lexi Woods, you know, now playing at Rio Grande from 2015-2018. And I think a lot of it has to do with her playing at a time, John, with Ella Skeens in the league. You know, she got hurt half of her senior year and still scored 1588. She's Paint Valley's all-time leading scorer. You know, without that, she's easily probably in the top seven, maybe even top five. And then another one I would throw in there is Cameron Chandler of Piketon. You know, when I do some research here, in the last 13 years of the website, she played volleyball at Piketon for four of them, John, okay? For the 9 years she didn't play, they won 14 league mm-hmm. matches. 14. And the 4 years she did, they won 21, including going 14-14 in her final two seasons, a very respectful mark. So winning three sectional titles. I believe they were district runner-up her junior and senior year. So I'm probably biased, Bruce, to the small school in this type of thing. Mm-hmm. But so, like, look at like a Jonathan Thomas, Adina basketball, Lexi Woods, Paint Valley girls basketball, Cameron Chandler, Piketon volleyball. It really, if you study your history and you understand what they are often were before they got there, and then what they were with them there, it gives you a real appreciation for maybe just how underrated they were.
That's great stuff, guys. Let's think about performances, elite performances throughout the history of the website here that may have taken place. What I was going to do, go back and forth between the both of you, give us a very short description or of what happened, and quickly name five elite performances that would have taken place during the history of the website. I know this is kind of, you know, this is, if you're like me, you can't remember what happened yesterday, but I'm sure you, knowing your minds, you can come up with five elite performances that took place in the last 10 years. So, John, you want to start us off?
This was really difficult.
Okay.
you know, it's just,
this could have been the old show. You know,
the first one. Right. But the first one that came to my mind, and this is always the one that maybe because I saw it live and on court level as he just kept scoring on us, and it wasn't even in a winning effort, but it was Elijah McCloskey. He had 44 points out of Huntington 61 a couple of years ago against Uniota. And it was just unbelievable. Like, we'll go games where we do a really good job on the other team's best players. It's not always, but like nobody's done something like that. Bo Myers from Logan a couple of years ago, it might have been the year before that, had like a 30, you know, put up 30 on us, and that was really impressive. And then Elijah just does 44, and it was just like, man, this dude, like, we threw everything at him and just couldn't stop him. And like, that was the longest handshake line, you know, when we were allowed to have handshake lines ever. Yeah, yeah. Because everyone was talking to him about how, you know, great he was, and how, you know, how much we appreciated how much he put into the game. It was unbelievable.
All right. Shane, what about you? An elite performance that's been in the past 10 years.
I love that. I put down 8 or 9 of them. So in case we doubled up, we'd have more covered. And that's awesome. That was on the list for sure. I'm going to go back. You actually touched on this one already, John. I'm going to go Gina Rossert of Westfall. And you were talking about the Kelsey Robinson game-winning walk-off RBI single in the 14th inning. This is back the Westfall State Championship, Saturday, June 7th, 2014, up at Akron, playing Bloom Carroll. You mentioned the girl that went on to Washington. I never can pronounce her name, like Taryn or something.
Taryn Alvado.
Okay, I don't have that part in front of me, but I know like she threw like a no hitter in the semifinal and didn't even give up a hit until that Kelsey Robinson hit, I think, in the 14th. So Rossert obviously didn't have any room for error. She threw 14 innings, 5 hit shutout, 8 strikeouts. She threw 187 pitches.
Wow.
And you know, you look back, what's so cool about that is, you know, when you look back through that, you know, she had beaten Wheelersburg there. She had thrown a 3 hitter in the semifinal, and, you know, she threw like a no hitter in the district championship, and, you know, just a super, super talent that, again, probably would have fit in the overlooked sometimes. But that particular performance, when you consider that stage, that's high school's biggest prize right there. I mean, you know, they'll never take that one away from you. So performance, that jumps out at me for sure, looking at how she performed on that stage.
John, your number 2 elite performance.
Number 2, we don't have to go very far back. Just go back to football season this year with Levi Golian against Minford. Holy cow. 446 yards passing, 218 yards rushing, and a 53-51 first-round playoff win this year. Like, we knew that Levi was special, but oh my goodness, that one was just unbelievable. For just following that game, because it just kept, and like, you know, they just kept keeping up because of different things Levi was able to do. And, you know, he's only a junior, so that's got to be something really SEC fans. I mean, maybe not when he comes to town to play their team next year, we'll be looking forward to, but overall, that's going to be a really fun thing to follow next year, because he's got some nice receivers back too. And man, that dude can do just about everything on the field.
All right, Shane, number 2 for you.
Yeah, another great selection. I'm going to go back 2017. Jacob Ott wins 2 state titles. I mean, that's insane. Like, looking at the track, they're both throwing events. And, you know, over the years, John, that's something. You know, state championships haven't been foreign to our track kids. And here in the SVC, I know Travis Burton, Ohan, I think the sprinter Stephen Hall, I think, won one. Trevor Detillion, Taylor Baker, Taylor Hatfield, Adrian Ross was runner up. I think Daniel Gardner was a state champion. The real good athlete from Westfall there, what's her name? Kylie Goldsmith. She had 2 seconds.
Yeah.
She had 2 seconds in the state. But, you know, to win 2 right there in the same year, like to just walk up on the LSU campus here and, you know, say right here on the biggest stage, I'm going to win both these. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, it's so to me, that's one that's unmatched in my opinion. That's certainly on this list of a top 10, would probably climb up into the top 2 or 3 for sure.
All right, John.
That was my next one. yeah. So that's why I'm glad I put down multiple, because it's just the amount of success that we've had at the state was also Brian Hall and Timothy Trawick of Piketon. Brian Hall of Edina won back-to-back high jump state championships as well. The year Hall won, Hall finished first, Trawick finished second, Cole Cottrell of Uniota finished third. And that was Cottrell's first – that was he just decided he was going to go to do high jump and then finished his third in the state at pretty much the SVC Invitational there at Ohio State. So that was, you know, really special stuff that's happened there in track. I went to another individual performance. 2014 – McKenna Steinbrook of Uniota with 72 assists against Westfall in a five-set volleyball game, which at the time was a state record. Just going back and looking at that scoring line of that match, it was just an incredible volleyball match. And, you know, those were just some really special elite teams. Just outstanding athletes all over, and 72 assists in a match is absolutely insane. Yeah.
All right. Shane?
Oh, let's see here. I almost had my best one for – is this number four?
This is number three, I think.
Three. Oh, this is three. Okay. So I'm going to save the best for last there. So let's go down here. I'm going to go back to one of the best ever, do it on Friday night. With Reed Hutchison, you could pick from about 17 different games in his career and just read his stat line. But he had one night of 372 and three touchdowns. He had a five touchdown night. But John, he was over 2,300 yards, basically a Lane Ruby type season. But you know what amazed me about some of his stat lines when I would look back is he would carry it like 35 times, 33 times, 30 times. And it's just, you literally could go like through his whole senior season and just pick about six different ones as one of these performance things. But remarkable when you think 372 and five touchdowns. Unbelievable how talented he was in terms of the ability to run with power, run with speed, make people miss, certainly the complete back.
John, how about your fourth one?
I had to go with, you know, a career one on this one. I went with Uniota Sylvia Gray with four consecutive unbeaten seasons prior to the state tournament. Usually in tennis, I believe they play like 15, 16 matches, and then she would play her sectional and district matches. So without knowing exact numbers, I believe she was around 104, which is just insane. She went 2-4 at the state tournament, and the two wins got her into being All Ohio twice, which just reaching the state tournament doesn't mean you're All Ohio. You have to win a match while you're there. So she was second team All Ohio twice. Actually had a scholarship to Wright State before they closed the tennis program due to COVID concerns. And then now is at Northern Kentucky, and it looks like she's going to be on their starting lineup for whenever they start matches in March. So just an outstanding athlete. And, you know, if you didn't get there within the first half hour, her matches would be over. Just like, and she's, you know, she's playing number one singles. So she's playing the other school's best player and was routinely beating them 6-0, 6-0. She had a few perfect matches where she didn't lose a point. Like, that's insane. That's one of those just really crazy, really crazy stats. She was not very tall, and just, she was really quick, really skilled, really talented player. I found in my, like, you know, like if you accidentally scroll on your phone to like one screen, sometimes like it'll just pop up a picture from your memories. And
yeah.
And one of my pictures was actually from her shaking hands with the girl that she beat at the state tournament last year, who was a solid foot taller than her. And she just dominated the match. And you wouldn't have thought that with how much power the other girl had, but it just, she just dominated. And that's what, you know, a really good kid too. Really fun to cover and follow. And I'm excited to follow her career in college as well.
All right. Shane, how about your number four?
Well, I think I go to the 2016 SBC track meet. I think it's remarkable when you look at our track records page to see, you know, it's rare to see someone on there more than once. Obviously, the greatest to ever do it in our league in track was Regina Thomas. She was basically the meet medalist in terms of record holders. She's on there four times, which is just insane. Back in 1994, still to this day, holds all those particular spots. Tanner Walls of Paint Valley and the hurdle events is on there. But, you know, again, to have one is incredible, but to have two is starting to get into just almost your unique elite area, you know, yourself. And that's what Abby Mohan did of Uniota there in 2016. She ran a 219 and the 800 to set the league mark, and then she anchored the 3,200 meter relay. Haley Wright, Elena Nipp, and Alex Evans. And so, you know, even when I look down through there, even a Zane Trace team of Haley Puckett, Morgan Miller, Brooklyn Pritchard, Ivy Beam was the 1,600 meter. So that was a time where Uniota Zane Trace leading the way, but a lot of athletes throughout the league. There were some really, really good female athletes, and Abby Mohan doing that to me on one night. Because, again, John, I think what's so unique about track is you only get the one time a year to do it. And no matter what the conditions are, where it's at, how you're feeling, you do it on that night or you don't do it at all.
Right. Like, I just want to throw out there. So those two Mohan sisters both got mentioned already. So, you know, the other two kids have a lot to live up to. But, you know, Abby and Autumn were just unbelievable at their track endeavors.
Mm-hmm. All right, John, your final top five elite performance.
You know, there's a few more that I was kind of looking at. Becca Brown from Westfall for softball. She had like a crazy consecutive home run streak, leading off games for them. She played on that state championship team, was, you know, had 14 home runs her final year, was an elite pitcher, just all around elite, player for Coach Redmond. You know, you could look at like Ethan Fremder from Piketon had just a ton of yards his last football game. Definitely was over 400. I believe it was close to 450 yards rushing. Like, that's rushing yards too. That's crazy. You know, but I went with one that came into like a pseudo championship game performance, which was in 2014, Anthony McFadden, 16 for 16 for 242 yards, three touchdowns and five extra points kicked against Zane Trace in a game that Paint Valley ends up winning 41-14. But also it was a, they ended up tied for the league lead at the end of the season. So for them, that was a must win, even though it was in week four, you know, it set them up to win the SEC. And Anthony's one of those athletes that I had considered to put in that underrated athlete area just because of, you know, all that he could do in all three sports. 1,000-point scorer, just awesome pitcher, and, you know, outstanding quarterback as well.
Sure. Okay, Shane, you're number five.
Well, with performances, the other ones I haven't really ranked in an order. I look down my list here. I hate to end the category and not mention Sierra Mitt and Elaine Ruby. Looking through here, Zach Farmer, Aaron Bain, Braden Collins, Michaela Newland, Ella Skeens, Dylan Swing. I mean, there's a lot there, but without question, my number one takes me all the way back. And I guess technically on our decade thing, we're going back to the fall of 2010, 2011 school year. But I would have figured either if I'm cheating, it's worth it, because people need to remember on Wednesday, September 1st, 2010, at the old Running Fox golf course that later became River's Edge, that no longer even exists now, Eli McKee of Southeastern shot a round of 30 in an SBC match. He started on hole 8, a par 4, made a par, and then birdied 9, made the turn, birdied 1, parred 2, eagled 3. And what was so funny about the par at number 2, that was the old hole that was my only hole in one of my life, came on hole 2 there at that course. So yeah, so he eagles the par 5th, or the par 5 3rd, and then he pars 4, and then birdies out on 5, 6, 7. So altogether, 5 of 7 fairways, 7 and 9 greens, 13 putts. He had 5 birdies, an eagle, 2 pars, and a bogey. So it's just funny to fake a 30 with a bogey. It's probably the single greatest performance that I've covered in the history of the SPC, not just in the 13 years, but probably period. It's that good. If to try to explain it to someone who doesn't golf, a high school kid shooting around a 30 on that type of stage in terms of being an SPC match would be the equivalent of a high school player scoring about 75 points in a basketball game.
Yeah.
Because I would consider a par round probably like a, you know, a 30, 35, 40, maybe even like 42, 43 types. You know, well, you mentioned the McCloskey performance earlier.
Right.
That's a remarkable. That's starting to get up into your under par round. This is a 30. I mean, he bogeyed a hole where he shoots 29. Like, it's just unheard of, and it's a remarkable performance that I certainly wanted to share with the listeners, because with it being that long ago now, I'm sure a lot of people had forgotten about it.
Yeah, and I think you did cheat, because we weren't even together back then. We didn't get together until 2011, but that was
it was technically the year.
The year. Well, yeah, was it? I thought you said it was 2010. Anyway.
2010, 2011, right? Okay. I mean, you carry over into the...
Yeah, but we didn't start until the fall of 2011, but I'll let you have that one.
Yeah,
that,
we were looking semantics. Back over the last year, yes.
Okay, yes.
You say potato, I say potato.
Okay,
know?
Let's call the whole thing off. All right,
who
guys.
Who says potato?
Nobody.
I've never understood that. Like, no one says potato. Yeah.
We'll discuss that later, Mr. Bruce, okay? All right. Guys, those are some great memories. We've got some more things coming up here along the same lines. But first, I want to mention Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, and particularly their adult education program, where they focus on the in-demand career training in under a year. And almost all of their full-time programs on the Ohio's in-demand jobs list, meaning that they are in demand. They offer training in health technology, skilled trades, public safety, and IT, among others. And all of their full-time programs are financial aid eligible for those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. You can give them a call at 740-642-1288 and look them up on the web at www.pickawayross.com. Appreciate their continued support, and they also do so in the vocational training for the kids. It's all for the kids as well. And so we're going to give you guys an opportunity in various categories, various sports here that we do cover, to come up with the best player. And we want to, in the interest of keeping these listeners from using up all their RAM and their phones and so forth, we're going to try to keep these each answer less than 1 minute, but we'll see how good that is. Stay within the lines there, Mr. Combs, but on the best player, and we're going to start off in the fall here with football, and I'm going to give you each an opportunity to come up with the best player, again, in our 10 to 11 years of website and podcast. So who wants to go first on football?
Well, John, I know it's hard because I know that your football purist is going to look at linemen and defenders and so forth, and so much goes into being a true
That's
football
right.
player. So the eyeball test is probably us being fans, and man, what I just watched, maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but Lane Ruby would certainly be up there. I mentioned Reed Hutchison earlier. I know you mentioned some McFadden's and you mentioned Hosley, man, but I'd have a hard time going away from what I just watched with Lane Ruby and what he accomplished.
All right, John.
Yeah, Lane Ruby was my choice. You know, I just think, you know, every week was unbelievable. I know Bruce, you saw it in person
yep.
as well down at Vinton County, what he could do, and just he could single-handedly take over a game, and man, he was spectacular.
In the second half, he did exactly that, and they came back and won the game. So, yep, I witnessed that, and
yes,
and I think I think that's a good example for the best player. Okay, next category being volleyball, another fall sport. Shane, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I you know, this will shock you guys to no end with my setter's bias, but I'll go back with Cassie Sours being before our decade, and you know how I am staying within the rules. Right. I'll stay inside the decade and go Katie Corey Vedina at the setter position. You know, Unietta's Maddie Evers was really close, kind of alike. Very similar in their play, but to me, Katie Corey was one that I just thought was phenomenal. Quarterbacking, one of the better teams I've ever seen there at Edina. There's been some hitters, there's been some passers like Elena Lytle and so forth, but I would say Katie Corey would be who I would label here as the best that I've seen in the decade.
All right. How about golf, Shane?
I would probably say, again, here recently, Schoblock would be really, really close. I think Steven Zimmerman had a nice career. I mentioned the performance of an Eli McKee. Dwayne Irvin would be real, real close because he was player of the year in a year where McKee and Drew Nichols, who went on to be a really good college player, and then Colton Forkman and so forth. So that was a tough league. I would say probably, John, between Schoblock and Irvin, which what's funny about that is one's from the very beginning of the website and one's here toward the current state. So that's probably where I go there. And then on the girls' side, Michelle Shams was really good there several years back. But then I think we're watching her right now in Maddie Schultz. I think when it's all said and done, that's a kind of a no-brainer, really.
All right. Next is cross-country boys. John, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I went with Unietta's Adrian Ross. He was right at the beginning of it as well. He finished third in the state cross country meet in 2011. I know we don't talk about the post, high school stuff that much, but he had committed to North Carolina State. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you're going to go run cross country in the ACC, you're probably pretty good. David Magnus, another one from Unietta, had several really solid runs at the state meet. That could just be a long line of Unietta kids. For some reason, the Paint Valley kid's slipping my mind. You mentioned him in the track, Shane.
Daniel Gardner.
Gardner's another one from Paint Valley. Just one of those really elite ones. He was right near the beginning. I believe he was right around Ross's age as well. So, it's just cross country in this area has been really good for a long time, and I think it just continues to get better and better. So I would say I would go with Ross on that.
All right. And cross country girls, Shane.
I would probably say Taylor Hatfield, staying right around that Adrian Ross age back then. Looking at what she did, the versatility of her as a runner was really, really impressive when you combine in her track. But just for this question in cross country, I think Taylor Hatfield and what some of those Zane Trace teams accomplished was certainly pretty impressive.
All right. You guys are doing a good job at keeping succinct answers here. Let's move on to soccer. I've got golf on my list here twice, but I think we've covered that. What about soccer on boys' side? John.
I had about three kids here. Ethan Kearns, it's hard to look away from what he did this past year. Yeah. And over his career, he's in the top five in goals and assists at Unietta and helped lead them to their first district title in 16 years. I had to do some quick math there. So it's hard to look away from him. Nick Kozad, another kid from Unietta, got them to a district final. He was one of those really special players that could play all over the field. But ultimately, I went with Eric Hutton from Zane Trace. Just spectacular player, 4-year starter at Wright State, who's a power in the Horizon League in Division One. He could do it in a lot of different ways. He was a really special passer, could be a really good defender, good scorer, just great all around high school soccer player.
All right, let's stick with soccer and go to girls, John.
Yeah, Shane, you mentioned Sierra Mitten. That's definitely a good place to start. If you're looking at girls soccer in the area, you also have to, look at different places where, man, some of those Unietta teams, with like an Aaron Bain and a Morgan Gum, right at the beginning of this 10 years. They got to a regional final. Jenny Campbell, another one. You know, then you look at Westfall. Chloe Tandler just finished her career, was outstanding. Abby Seals of UDO that just graduated, or is just graduated. Sydney Free, just outstanding goalie all around. But ultimately for UDO and for the best player, I went with Jayla Campbell of UDO. She was just a superstar for 4 years, three-time All-Ohio. She was over, I believe, 105 goals, and that was as she moved to midfield one of those seasons, and their team was actually even better when she was just distributing. Just unbelievable player all around. So I went with Jayla Campbell.
Some good names coming out here, guys. I remember a lot of these. What about wrestling, Shane?
Well, I look back through, you know, Westfall's really kind of dominated our league since wrestling has come on board. And, you know, it seems to me, John, that 100 wins seems to be the mark. And I know a great SEAL sports feature I was able to do there a while back. You know, Hosselton and Zane Trace, Metzger, Adina jump out at me. Adrian Salamone was 100 wins. Tim Diamond, Uniota was 100 wins. But to me, if I'm going to look at just Westfall's dominance of the league here in the early going, I would probably Chanson Mole, Josie Kelly, some of those names jump out at me is probably the best there. So I think in fairness to leading the team success, and maybe that is unfair because, you know, wrestling being a little bit more individual and so forth. But to me, Chanson Mole is someone that name seems to really have dominated the sport early on.
All right, guys, we're going to move into basketball now, boys and girls, and I'm going to give you each an opportunity to name one of the best player during our last 10 or 11 years here during the time of the podcast. First, we're going to do boys basketball. So, John, I'll give you the first shot at this one.
Shane, I'm going to take one from you. There's so many in this, but I went with Dylan Swingle of Paint Valley. Right. I mean, all-time leading scorer in Ross County history. Just he's one of, I believe, four players, boys and girls, that went for 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. And, you know, just his size had a good bit to do with his early success, but man, that dude could play. He could shoot it. He could run the floor. He could just do, man, he was just special. And, you know, I think Paint Valley did a really, really good job with him and using him in a variety of different ways. And man, he was a bear to coach against, and it's just fun to watch even today as he continues his success in college.
Shane, boys basketball?
Well, I can't argue with that. I mean, you know, obviously at the 1796 and scoring. And in fact, John, it's funny you mentioned that. I just, with what Olivia Smith's doing right now in her career, it got me looking at some things recently this week. And Dylan was 1,160 rebounds in his career. So obviously just remarkable. You know, I can't even imagine game planning against. Had to just be next to impossible to figure out what to do with him. And there are other players. We mentioned the Mowry and the Thomas. It was so cool to see them come through together and finish 16-22 and 15-89. That's insane. Mm-hmm. And then not to mention, let's not forget about Cam Evans, you know, in terms of the winning that he ended up doing and the 1,652. So there's been some great players. I'll tell you, one of my favorite players that actually did graduate in 11, so I'm not cheating, is Evan Legg. I thought if you go back to early in his career, which would be outside of our decade discussion, but he, you know, first point guards a Final Four team and then later becomes kind of the number one guy and shows that, hey, I could have scored 2,000 points. I was just doing this early in my career. He was remarkable as well. But, man, it'd be hard to get past Dylan.
All righty. In basketball, girls. I'm going to switch it here. Let Shane go first.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you can get off Ella Skeens here. Same kind of idea. You know, almost 2,300 points. And my favorite Ellis story, I'll try to make it as fast as possible. After coaching against her 2-3 times, had no idea what in the world to do with her. So we tried one night, John, to go triangle and two, and we took two. I mean, I won't say the girls' names. I don't want to call them out, but like they were two legitimate athletes, and we were going to chase her. Well, 4 minutes into the game, I'm not exaggerating, she had already touched the ball 9 times. And Coach Snyder turns to me and says, "What do you want to do now?" And my exact words was, "I have no idea." You know
what I mean? Yeah.
But she treated her teammates so good. She could score. She was a winner, playing Division I basketball now. I know she's made a move there that I think will fit for her. She's terrific. I had a chance to coach Braden Collins, and she was a special athlete. I mentioned Lexi Woods earlier and some other kids there. Obviously, what Allison's doing now, if we had this discussion 2 years from now, John, I don't know. But Ella Skeens is the way I would, answer right now.
John, how about you?
Yeah, Skeens is the way to go on this, I believe. Like you mentioned with Basie and Collins, some really special players out of Huntington. But also, I thought I'd mention Jenny Grigsby from Edina.
Good player.
Just really, really good player. They hadn't been the same since she graduated until this year, and thankfully they're back for their program. And, I also think Alexis Overly, somebody that should get a mention, as well as somebody who could do it in all kinds of different ways. Just one of those really elite point guards that we've had in our
– She was a unique person, John, that was underrated, yet she was a player of the year, yet she was still underrated. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, she was – man, she was very good. And there would be times where it was almost like, I her splitting it with Ella, I think it was Ella's freshman year and Alexis'
freshman senior year. Ella was, I probably didn't vote that way myself, but that's, is
right. But that kind of shows with that she was kind of underrated in that way. And man, that was a really special athlete overall too. Cause in that 72 assist game that McKenna Steinbrook had, she had 31 kills and 34 digs. And,
player of the year in both sports, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. All right. I'm going to give you both an opportunity here on this one. How about baseball?
Well, I don't think this will take long. I would just say it's Zach Farmer and, 500 strikeouts, yet take the pitching out of it, and he's still the best baseball player I've ever coached against. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just kind of a short and sweet answer. Just I've coached high school baseball, Bruce. Every year I've been out of high school. In the last 25 years, I just haven't seen anybody like him.
Okay. John, you agree?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Now, I'll throw out just a couple of names, with the McFaddens, Harley Patterson, Alex Stonerock. There's some really, really good overall players. Jonathan Thomas was another really good baseball player. It's just such a
– Yates in this decade? He was Farmer's age, right, Yates?
He was a year older, but, yeah, he would have been in the decade. That's just you name off all these kids, all these super talented kids, and then here's one that Pierce Mowry. I mean, 1 year and oh my goodness, that dude was just.
Hey, what about the hitter Dwayne Irvin?
Yes,
I once watched him. Someone walked a run in the
Alexander in the district semis.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was either the top of the seventh or the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah.
Alexander was up 2, bases loaded. Dwayne comes up and we're all like, all the VA starts buzzing. And then, Alexander's coach just immediately just goes, puts the 4 fingers up and points to first and wow. It's got real deflated. He had already hit 2 home runs in the game. And that year was the year where the bats started to not be as live. And he was still just destroying the ball. You've had all these just really special. Darian Lewis, another kid from Westfall, was a really good player. But Zach Farmer was just head and shoulders above everybody. I know for a fact that he intentionally walked Stone Rock in the district finals, you know, and no one will ever claim, like, I think Gene might have said that it actually happened on purpose, but he intentionally walked Alec because Alec, they played together so long that, you know, they could, he had a good feel for how Zach pitched to him, but he intentionally walked him. I tell Alec at first, as I'm the first base coach, I'm like, he's going to throw over. Alex, he's not going to throw over. If you know Alec, he's just, you know, just this, he knows what's going on, but he's like, he knows he's big and not very fast. And so of course, Zach immediately throws over and picks him off. Yeah. And it was a close game at the time. Still, I think they ended up winning like 5-1 or 5-0. And it was like, come on. I feel like he did that on purpose at times. Be like, okay, well, I'm going to let you get on, but I've got this move that I'm going to pick you off anyway. Mm. And he would do it. He was just an unbelievable competitor, great basketball player too, and just one of those really special athletes that we've ever had in the league.
All right. We move on to softball, and I'm going to give you both a shot at this, but who wants to go first on this one?
I'll go first. Just you know, you mentioned Gina Rosser earlier. I mentioned Becca Brown. I look to somebody else who got their team to the Final Four, and I'll say Michaela Newland of Paint Valley. Just great 4-year career. You know, it's just, she's not the only one in this league that was just really special. I have a feeling you'll probably mention a couple more, Shane, but she was the first one that we thought of earlier when I was discussing with kind of a think group of, you know, how special of a pitcher and player that she was overall.
Shane?
Well, I think that's spot on when you consider Ross County all-time leader. But at the same time, to be fair, there has been some other elite college players too that have gone on with Gino there at Zane Trace. Yes. At OU, she was phenomenal. And then I know from being baseball coach for so long, our leagues never fix it. It drives me insane. If you're not a pitcher, you just completely get left off the list. You're talking about really good teams that had tournament success. Holly Brapson, I believe, would fall inside this decade. She was unbelievable. I had softball coaches because, again, Bruce, that's one sport I don't get to see much in person because we're always playing at the same time. But I've had softball coaches tell me that very few people get out of the box to first base like she did. It was just impossible to get her out. I mean, she hit like 600. I mean, it was – so that's one. But I do think Michaela Newland, with the Ross County all-time leader in K's and so forth, certainly would be a legitimate pick.
All right. On track, on the boys' track, John, you want to give us your thought on this?
Well, Shane mentioned Jacob Ott and the double throwing championship. You know, you got Elaine Ruby, who was just an elite runner, Ison from Paint Valley. Those races were fun. You have all these really good. Walt Petzl is one of those that's going to be, probably would be fit into that underrated, because he was always behind Trevor Dottillion. Mm-hmm. And Trevor was my choice on this. Won back-to-back discus state championships, was very competitive in the shot put in the state, was one of the top throwers in the discus and in the country as a senior. Just that dude was just different. It was you knew he was going to win. You kind of knew that it was going to be him and Petzl were going to be 1-2, and then they went and both had really good college careers up at Kent State, and you know, those were just outstanding throwers and a long line of great throwers in recent SBC history.
Okay. And track girls, Shane.
Well, when I mentioned earlier with Paint Valley, with Jacob Ott on the boys' side winning the two state titles, it made me think, you know, Taylor Baker and the success she had at the state level, 2012 state champ, and she was there every other year and with those throwing events, and you know, she was even the regional a champion in some different events where she jumped in and helped. Penn Valley girls had some really, really good teams back then. I mentioned Hatfield earlier too, and I mentioned, you know, Goldsmith and Mohans and so forth. So if you consider, like earlier when we talked Adrian Ross to the next level, I would probably take a look at what Taylor Baker has gone on to do even in college in the Ivy League and so forth. It'd be hard for me to get past her there in terms of the girls' side.
All righty, guys. Some great names mentioned there, some great players, some great athletes that we've had the pleasure of covering for the past 10 years here on the podcast. And we're going to flip to the thought of coaching here momentarily. But first, we want to mention North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff are out there ready to take care of your small animal needs. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387 or look them up on the web at northforkanimalclinic.com. Appreciate their continued support of the podcast and of the website as well. And I mentioned we're going to take a look here at the class of coaches that we've had in the past 10 years. What I'd like to try to do, if we can do this and kind of keep it somewhat short here, we've got some time though, we want to form a top 10 coaches of the last decade being the 10 years that we've been doing the podcast. We're going to kind of just throw out names until you can agree on a top 10 here. So, John, you know, I guess all sports are in play here. So why don't you name one, then Shane will name one, and then you guys can kind of massage the list here as we are on the podcast and see what we come up with. So, John?
I'm going to go with Laura Smith, the dean of volleyball. I you know, if we're going to draft a number one, I would have to mention her. So, you know, one of the top coaches in state history and just continues to do great things.
Okay. Well, I agree there. Like, I'll tell you what, each time we name one, see if the others agree. I'll write these down and then we'll come back and debate. Now, this is going to sound funny, but, you know, I went back and forth on the decade part because obviously the Hall of Fame careers there, it's insane. But like what's going to happen in this category, there's a lot of different coaches that they had done so much before the decade. She had just ended winning like six straight coach of the years before the decade started. I mean, here, but I agree, like we almost should probably not even do the segment if she's not in the list. So I'm going to agree with you and put down Laura Smith. So we agree on that one, so we'll put her on the list. Another one I had down, John, is Dan Drummond for SVC mm-hmm. Golf. You know, obviously the career speaks for itself, but even if we're just going to do the decade, I mean, I look at our golf history page, and there was only one year in the entire decade that Uniota didn't win the league. So I think that still covers the decade list as well. So can I get an agreement on Dan Drummond?
100%.
Okay, great. Okay,
so let's get him down.
We're two you for go. Two.
I will go with Matt Paxton for Uniota Track and Cross Country. You know, just it's kind of a juggernaut what they have. One of the elite performances that I was considering was Uniota's cross country finishing second in the state. And then, of course, they kind of have a letdown this year as they tied for second and ultimately finished third. So, I mean, that's just crazy to me what he's been able to do with that program.
Shane?
All right. Well, I don't mean to give anything away, but the only football coach I had in my locks was Pete Holland in terms of what he's accomplished there at Paint Valley over the years, the longevity and the number of wins, the number of gold balls, the playoff success. What's your take on that, John?
He was also in my list. He was my first football coach listed. So I think we're in agreement there. Then I went with softball. I went to Fred Redmond of Westfall, state championship winning coach. They won the league, man, repeatedly. Yeah, just repeatedly were were winning the league, and if they weren't, they were at the top, and then they were making runs to the district tournament and beyond at times. And then obviously, you know, with the state championship, is just what more can you say? That's going to be a heck of a run to follow up there at Westfall for their softball program.
All right, so far we're halfway home. Now, Bruce, this isn't as easy once you get down around 7, 8, 9, 10.
I know, these were some no-brainers here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I couldn't agree more there with that one. I had that down in my locks list. How about Matt Hoops in terms of what's happened there in the decade at Uniota? Maybe I'm a little biased as a high school teammate of mine and so forth, but I don't think you can argue with the numbers and the success there, especially inside the decade.
Right. 69 straight wins in the league. I mean, it's kind of all you need to look at there. An undefeated season. You know, obviously I'm on staff and everything and we're friends, but I think it'd be crazy to have this list and not have him mentioned early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Putting aside the fact that he chooses people of questionable value on his staff. But
now, I thought we weren't going to mention that.
Okay, sorry.
But,
sorry.
You know, I understand.
That notwithstanding. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah. All right, now's where it gets tricky. We have six. So I'm going to kind of cheat for discussion purposes here to also save some time. There's four baseball coaches that jump out at me, John, but the problem is Ed Yates had a lot of success outside of the decade. He moved over to softball, still not in the decade, came back, was really good. Now at Huntington, has had a regional appearance, so forth. And then obviously with Trevor Thomas, Ron Allen, and Tony Taylor. But to get all four of them on the list, you're going to end up taking yourself all the way to the end and go. So I guess what I had done is I put off to the side without even letting you know this was coming. And I wanted to get your take on those four. And are we going to be able to get all four of them on the list? Because there's two or three that are really, really good as well that we have not mentioned yet.
Right. Man, that's hard. I would probably take off Tony Taylor and Trevor Thomas because they hired me. You know, if we're gonna go that way, that, like, you know, Bruce probably would be the one to agree with that. But no, it's just, man, there's a lot of success. Like I don't know. It's crazy. And then Shane, I'm gonna mention you in here because the success you've had at the tournament level with Paint Valley in this league is really good. And this league is, I mean, it's the league's baseball coaches are absolutely insane. And that's a big reason why we have this success as a league. So, you know, it's going to be hard to list everybody, but I appreciate that.
But like, I'm just being honest when I look at these four names, I'm not on this list. You see what I'm saying? Like Trevor, Ron, Tony, and Ed, that's a whole nother level. And where I struggle a little bit is here. And I know this sounds stupid, but I even struggled at first with Laura Smith just on the decade only. Right. That makes sense. And and that's where so now Trevor, Ron, and Tony would have been at their schools the entire decade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just look at the rest of our list so that we know what we're comparing it to. I had Lori Coker. Now, Lori Coker's 2000 to 2010 resume is insane. 2010 to 2020, still very, very impressive. Been at multiple schools, won a championship there with multiple schools. The Jeff Miller, Mike Adams, very impressive stretches. You know, the Gary Kello, I think, probably wasn't in the SVC enough. Obviously, just won 500. If we were doing a Mount Rushmore for, like, career, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will Brayer there, Westfall Wrestling, they've had some things. So I'm probably biased to the baseball coaches, but if we put those four on there, are we cheating a Jeff Miller, a Mike Adams, a Lori Coker, some of those people?
Well, you know, I think you can also, you know – you're going to look at different coaches, you know, Jimmy Hutton, not a real long time at Southeastern,
right,
with their volleyball, but really good. You know, Tina McGill, another one that was been really good with Huntington, just consistency.
Longevity, yes.
Yeah. Evan Gallagher, another one that wasn't a super long time with Southeastern
football. See, I had
football,
Evan but, with a question right. mark, but it wasn't very long, but you appreciated right. how he started from the bottom and then did what he did, sure.
Yeah, you know, and if we're mentioning baseball, now the most of the success came at the beginning was Gene Bumgarner with yes. Clayton. They've won two league championships in league history, and one of them came in the last 10 years. Yes, you know, Farmer was a big part of that, but man, they were well put together. They ran their stuff. They did their stuff right. A couple that were a dual pair of coaches that are a sport that maybe doesn't get looked at as much would be Kara Rathkamp and Kendra Dalton of Uniota Girls Soccer. You know, won a couple district titles there. They were also, but they were a 4 years. So I think if you want to go with the baseball coaches, I'm good with that, because Ed Yates did something that no one's ever done in boys history at Huntington. And that's won a district championship. And you just know, you know what you're going to get when you're going against an Ed Yates coach team, and you don't like it because it's not fun to coach against, because they're going to do fundamentals. They're going to small ball you. They're going to do the right things. And you know, eventually that Huntington program, I'm really excited to see where they go, because you know what he can do with these programs.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Like I said, if you're getting more into career, Lori Coker, without question. I know, you know, when she moved over to Zane Trace, won that league title, and then helping at Huntington into the regional tournament, and then out Southeastern already, you know, winning sectional title and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and obviously what Jeff Miller's accomplished there in the girls program, the longevity there. So, That's a tricky run. I think Bruce, what it tells us is the top half of that list in terms of just the last 10 years is a no-brainer. But I think we've accomplished our goal of really putting a lot of names out there and just kind of reminding people there's something to be said for longevity too. I believe Brett Carino is the longest tenure yes. in girls basketball. Is that correct?
He'd been yeah.
at Python longer than any other coach in the league's been at their particular school.
Mm-hmm. There's some great coaches out there, I guess, is the message that I got. Some who have been around for a lot longer than 10 years.
And in today's time, with the way things work, Bruce, staying at a school double-digit years, in consecutive double-digit years, that's an accomplishment in itself. And in terms of the relationships you're able to maintain and keep everybody, you know, working toward a common goal.
It sure is. Some good names mentioned there. And I just want to point out that Jeff Miller got all his training at Vinton County, by the way, before he moved over there, at the hands of one Mr. Matt Combs. Now, Jeff used to sit right at the end of the bench and be the strategy man for Matt, so I got to know him pretty well by the time that he departed for Greener Pastures. Always thought a lot of him as well. So,
oh, he's such a good dude. He's helped me out with just a ton, and just, you know, he's one of those really special people to have around young kids. And
we enjoyed him. Well, guys, we've made lots of lists. Mentioned a lot of athletes tonight. Thinking about the past 10 years and so forth, and I'm sure that the listeners out there have their lists as well, and if they'd like to impart those to us, they may do so by contacting Shane via his email at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and on Twitter he is svcsportzone. That's his handle there. On Facebook he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sportzone and svcsportzone.com. John's email is John's email is jbruce@1018@yahoo.com, and on Twitter his infamous handle, Coconut Wall Papa. I will mention that when either of these two gentlemen tweet about SVC content, they do so using the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, and it's a great way to kind of look for SVC content on Twitter. You can call our DBK Media Services and leave a voicemail message. The number there, 740-569-3254. Leave it there, and I'll get it to whomever it's intended for. And And as always, if you see our information, we encourage you to share it on Facebook or to retweet it or at least favorite it and like it on Facebook. And if you're listening on iTunes, consider a good rating and maybe a review as well. So we move in now to our final thought tonight. And Shane, I'm just going to turn this over to you at this point.
Well, I in my notes here, Bruce, I actually am going to throw it right back to you. I was just, you know, throughout the 300 shows, I know we've done a lot of different things, tried a lot of things, and, you know, we've called live games, and we've done live shows, and we've done all sorts of different things. And I wanted to hear from you here kind of as a celebration type of moment where when you look back, what the how would you summarize maybe your number one thought of SVC Sports Talk?
Well, it's hard. I knew this was something like this would be coming because it was show 300. And so I sat down this afternoon. I actually went back and I listened not to any of the whole show, but I started with episode one. And we put that out there on September the 12th of 2011. And I sat down and kind of listed out the people that I've come in contact with as this has rolled along. Obviously, I knew Matt before this. I had never met Shane until we started doing the show. I ended up meeting Eric along the way. I knew Jeremy Ward. I've known him since he was in diapers, so I got to spend some time with him as well. I met what was it, Joe Holbert that did a show with you over in Chillicothe.
Joe and I called a football game
that's
together.
Right. Yep. Back in, gosh, what was that, 2015, I believe it was. Derek Webb came our way in 2016, so we got to work with Derek as well. And then John, 2018, came on board and has been here ever since. I guess, and this will come as no surprise to you guys that are sports fans, probably the highlight of doing this has been the relationships that I've built with those people that I've worked with. I don't get out to SVC land all that much to, you know, meet the athletes and so forth. I don't see a lot of the fan feedback that comes to Shane and whoever the co-host might have been or was or is. So I just have to say that from the standpoint of the highlights, it's been the personal connections that I've built along the way with those of you who are on the other side of the headphones. I enjoy that as much as anything. It's the technology has, you know, I was on the leading edge when we started this. And as I've gotten older and it's gotten faster, it's some of it's left me in the rearview mirror, so to speak. But I still enjoy that end of it. I was once told, "What if you ever had seven? If you did seven episodes of a podcast, you had gotten over the hump." Well, I think we've gotten over the hump a little bit. So it's been fun. It's It, you know, the content, I truly think that Shane has kind of, you know, driven this thing with his love of sports, and he's found other people to hang with, whether it be Matt, Derek, Jeremy, you know, Eric, John. He finds, you know, I used to call him, used to call you guys the sports nuts or the sports nerds. And I think you just love to share your love of sport with other people, and particularly your love of the SVC. So I've enjoyed it. I don't know, you know, how much longer we'll go on. It's something that takes a lot of time from your end. I do know that, Shane. I don't think people appreciate what your love for sports and SVC causes you to spend to do this, but you know, it's obviously got a big place in your heart, and I enjoy being a part of it.
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just, man, it's like I've told the story before. Just when I would drive to school, this was something, you know, going to Right State. This is something listening to you and Matt at the beginning, and then you and Jeremy, you and Eric, and then always hearing Bruce along the line, and then eventually meeting Bruce. It's been really fun to go from being a fan of the show to listening every week, and then to be a part of it and really getting to know, you know, Shane. I've known you for ever, you know, and but to get to know you better, getting to know Bruce just at all and better is just really, you know, it's something I really look forward to each week. You know, it's just, you know, the one of those relationship things. It's you get to know people better. I feel like I've been able to have more conversations with different people because of different things that happen on the show. And, you know, it's kind of a, you know, I feel even more part of the community now that, you know, being a part of this show. And that's why, like, I've used some of the stuff on my website to kind of expand extra SVC history stuff, like using stuff from you, Shane, from Josh Jones, from, you know, Dave McMullen, Dave, or McMillan, you know, Dale Haynes, different people that have been historical. I actually got some really good info from Scott Legg, well, via Mark Shifko and Scott Legg.
He's a phenomenal source. Yeah.
And like Justin Kello and just different people that have been really helpful throughout this, and being able to talk to different coaches and everything. And, you know, we're, for the most part, I think we're all in this for the right reason. We're here to promote kids, and we're here to help enrich these kids' lives and build up, you know, give these kids a better chance for success on and off the court. And I think this show helps do a little bit of that. You know, it's not going to act like it does, you know, all kinds of just crazy things. But I do think having different people listen and knowing people that listen with their families and let you know, like, hey, you know, we really enjoy the show this week. And like, and even if we don't talk about like their kid or whatnot, and I know I've really enjoyed being able to get extra soccer coverage on here. And, you know, I wish I'd be able to get out and watch more softball, but, you know, being a baseball coach, that makes it really difficult. But it's, you know, that's one of the great things about the website. And, you know, hearing from different places is, while different things come and go, this has been pretty consistent for 13 years and the show for 10 years. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, guys, I appreciate that. And my final thought, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I would say this. I think for me, the coolest thing about the website and the podcast is it started as, and it's continued as, something that's a hobby that's never had to cross over into the all-in business aspect. It's never been about likes and shares and clicks and all these different things. It's simply been about a love of promoting a particular thing. And it's never been about growing outside of the area. It's been about staying inside our SVC community. And whatever that means in terms of number of people that want it or like it or whatever, that was fine. If it was for one person or 500 people, it didn't matter. And that's what's made it really, really cool. So I think you guys, the relationships are obviously really, really cool. And that's why, you know, we've always committed a year at a time. You know, every summer we'll sit down, and if we say we're in for another year, then we're all in. You know what I mean? I understand the hours it's going to go into the website, into the podcast show, and we'll do that again at the end of this year, the same way we have every other year. So, Bruce, I can't thank you enough. You know, the way from start to now and through the rest of this year, and then, you know, John, you the same, And the last thing I would say on that personal note, Bruce, one of the coolest things about this, that kind of almost the feedback almost relates to the way the show and the website's been. It's almost in a very private way. You know what I mean? You don't get a lot of open social media type things or whatever. I get tons of email. I get tons of texts. I just got an incredible text earlier this week from someone that means a lot to me, telling me how much they enjoy the show and so forth. And those are the things that's cool in terms of those private moments and knowing that a lot of people around the league, they respect that, you know, even though I might coach against their kid, or even though I may, you know, have to try to beat their kid in a competition, mm-hmm. they know that, you know, come Sunday night at recording that I'll praise their kid. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. So it's just, that's kind of a cool relationship. You kind of touched on that in the opening. So, you know, we still have a long way to go this year. I'm really looking forward to getting back into spring. You know, our fingers are crossed there. Those kids deserve that. And, you know, one of the trademarks of our entire thing has been our coverage of those of smaller sports that maybe don't get the attention that they sometimes deserve. So, guys, on that note, it's been a lot of fun. We're going to close it out, and we'll be back next week to start another 300, we hope. So on that thought, make sure you're checking out the website this week. And as always, we will keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.